You're listening to the Hustle Podcast with Justin Harrison.
How's it, Justin? How's it, guys? So my first question is, being an entrepreneur, and it's quite a lonely space. Mm-hmm. How do you fight the bad days? Now, being part of the money tribe, I think I know the answer, but I'm going to let you answer that question. How do you fight those down days where you're feeling despondent, you're not getting anywhere, maybe all your leads have gone cold? How do you get out of that rut?
So I think the first thing to accept is that business is about more bad days than good days. The sooner you accept that, the better you're going to cope with things. The second thing I'd say is that you have to develop resilience to pain. Business is all about pain. I always tell people, if you're going to go into business, this is how it's going to go. Bad day, bad day, bad day, bad day. One small amazing day. Bad day, bad day, bad day. It's a lot like having kids. Same thing. It's terrible days, and then one day they do something amazing, and it's back to many terrible days. Okay. And business is a child. And you have to develop the resilience. And the biggest tip I can give is you've got to take the emotion out of it. There is no emotion in business. It's not personal, right? But everything is your fault. So it kind of is personal, but you mustn't make it personal, right? It's just business. If you've made a bad choice today, you've made a bad decision, you've had a bad customer, something terrible happened, just move on. Keep moving. Keep moving. Momentum is the thing that helps you succeed. And also being able to take on repetitive tasks and become really good at them, right? So today, maybe the leads went cold. You have to ask yourself why, right? Once you figure out the why, go fix it by repetitively doing it. And business success in business is all about developing resilience and good habits. And so this is another part that I always say to people, start your day and end your day the right way. Wake up in the morning, train first. Mm-hmm. Do some meditation. Spend time by yourself. Because you're going to walk into a shitstorm every day of your life when you're in business. This is people think the more businesses you have, the more money you have, the easier it gets. It actually gets harder. More money, more problems, right? More people, more problems. So you have to develop that resilience. My rule is the first 3 hours of every day belongs to me. And the last hour of every day belongs to me. Everything in between, we figure it out.
Okay, next question. So you know a bit about my history, and I haven't been making the best choices. So I'm in a bit of a hole at the moment. How do I get out of that hole? Obviously, I understand you've got to cut down all your bad debts and things like that. However, in my situation, it's not as vanilla and as simple as that. Okay. I took on a property that my in-laws now live in the flat, and it would be counterproductive to sell the house to buy something smaller, because then they'd be out of property, essentially. They wouldn't have anywhere to stay. So without bringing down, I've brought down a lot of my debt. So loans, things like that, I brought it down. But now the biggest portion of my debt is my property. So I have spoken to the bank and told them what I can afford, and they've accepted that. Do I continue paying that small amount, or do I try and get back to paying that full amount of my bond as soon as possible? Because obviously the bank would want that from me. But also then it's a cash flow problem.
So there's a lot of really deep aspects to your question. So the first thing to understand is, if you can't afford something, you can't afford it. Irrespective of what the
I used to be able to. That's the problem, when things were going well.
Irrespective of what the circumstances are, if you can't afford it, you can't afford it. Remove the emotion. If that means that your parents-in-law have to land up on the street, that's what's got to happen. I know it sounds harsh, but this is the reality. If you can't afford something, you can't afford it. You can't make something it's not. If you can't afford it, you can't afford it. It's that simple. The only way to solve a money problem is one of two ways. You either have to make more money or spend less money.
That's the only way, right?
And the easiest way is to spend less money to begin with, right? Because when you spend less money, you solve the immediate problem. But then you also have to focus on earning more money, right? So what do you do on weekends?
At the moment, not much, because I don't have money.
Well, you should be figuring out how to go earn money on the weekend.
Exactly. Yeah, 100%.
Right? Use your time.
Yeah.
That's dead space. That's 2 days every weekend you could be making money somewhere. Yeah, you can't say you've got a money problem
if I haven't tried.
If you're not actually getting off your backside to solve the money problem.
So I have a lazy problem.
You have a lazy problem, right?
Yeah.
And I liken this to my story. A lot of people know my story. I always say, when I was broke and I didn't have money, brother, I was hungry. I didn't have time to sit and care about my feelings. I didn't have to have time to sit and care about other people's feelings. I had to go get the money. If I had to work 3 or 4 different jobs or 3 or 4 different angles to get money, I was doing it. I was doing several things at once to figure out how to keep a roof over my head. And you know what? You say that if you had to make a different choice, it would affect your parents-in-law. It's a big problem here. Worst comes to worst, if you have to all squeeze into a one-bedroom apartment to survive, then that's what you'd have to do. Make the tough choices in life today so you can have the easy choices in the future. Right? Yeah. Everybody's worried about the comfort today. Everybody's worried about not taking on change today. Change is uncomfortable. Change is painful. But change is worth it, because if you don't take on that change, you're going to have the problem continuing forever. I'd rather go through a short period of pain and solve the problem permanently.
Yeah, exactly.
Than have a permanent state of being uncomfortable. Because where you're at right now is not comfortable. So make a difficult choice for 8 years. If you have to go live in a one-bedroom apartment with everybody, then that's what you do. Brother, I stepped on the street.
No.
Intentionally. Because I didn't want to spend my money on stuff that was meaningless. I didn't have money.
Yeah.
I had $500 to my name. I had to figure out how to make it work. And when I got an apartment eventually, I was in that apartment. I slept on the floor for 2 years. Do you know why? Because I was grateful to have a roof over my head and running water, and a bed wasn't important. In the grand scheme of things, it's the greatest choice I ever made. I was very uncomfortable sleeping on the floor for 2 years.
Yeah.
But you know what? At the end of that 2 years, when I went and bought my first futon, because it was a couch and a bed, right?
Multi-purpose, nice.
When I went and got to that point, the money was taken care of. I wasn't worried about paying rent. I wasn't worried about all the superfluous nonsense. And 8 years down the line, when I lived on 10% of what I earned, I'd banked enough never to worry about money again. So the question you have to ask yourself is, how much are you prepared to suffer today to live the life you want to live in the future? And most people are not prepared to take that on board.
No, 100%.
And let me tell you, as an entrepreneur, you better learn to live with very little, because there's no guarantees being an entrepreneur. You can have great months, you can have great years, and you have really shit years. You got to get comfortable being uncomfortable.
Another one of my questions is that I'd like to begin creating content on positivity and all of that. I started writing my book, but I'm a little bit embarrassed on social media because I'm a little bit worried if I say anything wrong, because of how people are so sensitive these days. The last thing I'd want to do is get cancelled or anything like that. So where would you say is the best place to start with an Instagram channel or content creation?
I'm the wrong person to ask. Have you seen my content?
I love it. That's why I'm asking.
Okay. And do you think I'm filtered in any way on my content?
No, not.
I say it exactly like it is, with a hammer and a nail added to it. You've got to get to the point in life where you are comfortable enough in your own skin that you don't give a crap about anybody else's opinion. And social media is not the place to go if you give a crap what people think about you. In fact, this is the number one thing I tell young people. Until you've developed the resilience to not give a shit about what anybody else thinks about you, don't go on social media.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you're never going to be tall enough, you're never going to be thin enough, you're never going to have the right color hair. If you see the insults that get thrown at me by being on social media, you'd be horrified. Most people would commit suicide over it. Like real negative stuff, because the world is full of people who are full of insecurity, who reflect that outward on other people. So when these people make these comments and come at you, it's them reflecting their own insecurity. And if you go on social media and you're already insecure,
it's adding
fuel to the fire. So what I'm going to say to you is, first become comfortable with who you are. Don't even open up a social media account and post stuff about your deep inner feelings and what you truly believe and what you really think about until you're truly prepared to stand by the convictions of your words. I say things that are highly controversial, but I believe them. 100%. And I don't care who disagrees with me. I know them to be factually correct.
Because you've also lived through the experience.
Because I've lived through it, right? And so when I speak and somebody criticizes, it means nothing to me.
Yeah, because they don't know.
It just means to me that they don't know because they haven't lived that experience, right? Until you're prepared to step into your own skin like that, don't go on social media with your own views and opinions, right? Do something else. Do a faceless social media account and, I don't know, post something about sunflowers and daisies, right? If you want to really expose yourself on social media about what you believe, get to a point where you're comfortable in your own skin. I'm okay with people disliking me. I'm okay with people hating me. I'm okay with people disagreeing with me. And it doesn't change who I am.
I was quite surprised because based on your content and things like that, you transfer that exact same person into in person.
Well, that's who I am. And that's the most common comment I get from people who meet me on the street. They go, you're exactly who we've seen on camera. It's not a persona. It's who I am.
Yeah.
And I believe that the greatest creativity and art comes from people who are prepared to be disliked and disagreed with and not understood. Because we're not doing it for somebody else's opinion.
Yeah.
And social media right now, it's all about pandering to people's opinions and trying to be the most relatable. I don't want to be relatable. I want to tell the truth. What do you want?
Mm.
You want to be relatable? Probably put on some stockings. Probably put some makeup on.
Yeah.
And present what everybody else is trying to present at the moment, right? Because that's what's selling at the moment.
Yeah.
Or figure out who you are and be comfortable with who you are and present that. If you, the person with the stockings and the makeup, be that person and be comfortable. But yeah, don't do it for likes and views. Do it because it's who you are.
My last question. You talk about your mentors and things like that. How did you choose them? And then how would an average Joe like me be mentored under you?
I think that's such a, it's such a deep question, because I've had the most incredible mentors. I've had people who I truly deeply respect, captains of industry. I didn't have a strong father role model in business or commerce to go after, and so I naturally seek that out in relationships. And I mean, I became incredibly wealthy by the age of 21, exceptionally wealthy. But I figured out how to make money. I hadn't figured out what to do with the money. I hadn't figured out the value system of money because I didn't have that template. Mm. And so I made a lot of stupid mistakes. I did what any youngster with money would do. I spent it on dumb shit, right? And I realized very quickly that I needed to find role models, and I needed to find people who knew more than me. And I had to humble myself. And bear in mind, going from a 21-year-old who had millions in the bank to going to saying, hey, actually, I know nothing. I need to humble myself and go learn from somebody who's older and has got the experience, has been beaten up by life a little bit and going to teach me those lessons. I had a very simple template. Don't go and learn from somebody who's telling you they're going to teach you. Go and learn from the people actually doing it.
Mm.
You want to learn about business? Go learn from somebody who's actually running a business. You want to learn about somebody who's really good at money? Go learn from somebody who's a multimillionaire. You want to learn about somebody who's got going to teach you good family values? Go find the person who's got a strong, committed family around him. Go seek out people who actually live the thing that you're looking to learn. And I don't believe that there is one mentor for everything. I think you have to find different mentors for different things. And that ultimately will culminate into a stronger overall personality for you. Like, I took some great lessons from Raymond Ackerman as a businessman. I took great lessons from my marketing people like Joe Vitale, who's the author of The Secret. Guys like Derek Hell, who taught me a lot about internet marketing, email marketing. I learned aspects from them, but I created and formulated my own opinions. And I think one of the dangers we have in mentorship today is that people simply seek to emulate other people. Don't seek to emulate anyone. Learn from them, grow, see the world through their eyes, learn from their mistakes, and take the parts that are relevant and valid. And you can get mentorship from your father. You can get mentorship from people close to you, but you've got to decide what it is you want to get from them. And you've got to extract it from them. You've got to physically download that information. It's one thing to be around a person. It's another person to be around a person, get the information, and then go action it.
Yeah.
So I did my last mentorship with somebody probably 10 years ago. And I said, I'll never mentor again. Because it takes out so much to give that to somebody else. It's literally me giving of my time.
Mm.
And when I give of that time, it's a fossil fuel. I can't get it back. It's time away. I take away from my family, take away from my businesses. And so this is part of the reason why I started the Money Tribe. I started the Money Tribe because so many people said, you got such great advice. How do we learn from you? And I thought, well, I'm fundamentally going to be teaching the same thing to everybody. I started the Money Tribe as a way for me to pass on lessons in a mass way through the Money Tribe rather than me sitting one-on-one.
Okay.
And so what I'd say to you is, if you're looking for my advice, that's the place to go find it, inside the Money Tribe. Everything you're ever going to need to know from me is inside the Money Tribe. If you're seeking more specific mentorship in life, find people who are successful at the thing you want to go after. The oak is trying to sell you a course and trying to sell you mentorship. That's the last oak you go to.
No, 100%.
You go to the person who actually has done it.
Yeah, so like I've been thinking about it quite a bit, and when I look at who my mentor or mentors should be, I try and look at what my strengths and my weaknesses are.
100%.
To try and make my, because I know obviously, like, I know I'm not good at focusing. I struggle big time with that.
Mm.
And even there's a couple of other things I struggle with. So it's to lean on people who are proficient and good at those sort of things to get the tips and tools from them to make myself better.
So I just want to interrupt you quickly. So I think this is a very important point. You must understand there's a difference with mentorship and circle of competence. And there's a lot of things I'm really not good at, and I surround myself with people who are really good at those things. That's my circle of competence. They are strong where I am weak. Mentorship is different. Mentorship is a skill set or something that you want to learn from somebody or a way of thinking. Don't confuse circle of competence with mentorship.
Yeah.
You want to change your circle of competence, start with your immediate family. Some of them need to be fired. It's a fact. Yeah. I tell people all the time, it's okay to outgrow your family. Mm. I know people don't want to hear this. You must understand that when you decide to grow and become the absolute best version of yourself, when you decide to eat clean, think clean, live clean, people are not going to agree with you. Mm. People are going to think you've lost the plot. If you say, I'm not eating sugar anymore, I'm not eating McDonald's anymore, if you say, I'm not going to dwell in negative commentary and speak and backstabbing and skinnering, people are going to think you're weird. So change your circle. And it's okay to outgrow people. Mm. I've told all my business partners this and anyone I ever mentored, in life, if you want to grow, you are going to outgrow people. And it is okay. Mm. Change your circle, change your view, change your world. Right? So change your circle of competence to, if you want to have a perfect body and be in the gym, get around people who gym and train and eat properly.
Yeah.
Don't keep hanging around with folks who are watching movies and trying McDonald's all day, because you're going to be in conflict, right? Then if you're wanting to learn specific skill sets, advertising, marketing, finance, business, public speaking, social media, find mentors in those spaces and figure out how to attach yourself to that. But mentorship and circle of competence is
different,
not the same
different
thing.
Different thing. Okay, cool.
And change your circle of competence first, because there's no point in getting mentorship but the pots it's going into and the people around you are negative and don't live up to that value system.
Nice. I have one more question.
Go for it.
So when going through the money tribe and things like that, you talk about sticking to what you're passionate about, what you love doing, things like that. So I'm in the process of launching a CBD and medicinal mushroom online store, essentially.
Right.
Also, I've had to stop doing that because I'm trying to sort out my life first.
Yeah.
Because, like you say, I can't build on broken foundation, essentially. Yep. So I'm trying to sort that out first. Once I've sorted out my life, and what would be the first step in either launching it, launching the store? Would it be an online, like an online platform or online marketing, or what would be the first inroads to make when launching an online brand?
So you're not in the business of launching a brand. You're in the business of selling product. Mm-hmm. Branding is a byproduct of people using your product. I can't stand this concept of talking about branding. It's the dumbest notion on the planet. People try and create a brand before they sold a single product. Your strength of your brand is measured directly by how many people use your product. If there are 1,000 potential customers for this specific product and you've got 800 of those buying from you, your brand strength is literally 80%. That's the way to look at it.
Okay.
We've got hoodwinked into this thing because corporates are out there spending money on branding that we think brand first, product second. Mm. Product first, brand second. So your logo needs to look nice. You need to have clear wording. Your mission statement needs to be clear. The product intent needs to be clear. All of that, that's part of your brand. Mm. The way you service your customers, how you deliver your product, the advice that you give, that's part of your brand. Your personality that you inject into the business, that's part of your brand. But don't go into branding. Go into the business of selling product.
Okay.
So how do you sell product? The answer is pretty simple. I don't know when you start your business, but whenever you do, go wherever that product's most likely to sell the most. If it's if it's on the web, the web. If it's on social, social.
Okay, cool.
Does that answer your question?
Yes. So
things are really fundamentally simple. We complicate you.
Yeah, 100%.
And people like you are in your head too much.
That's the problem.
Get out of your head. Get onto a piece of paper with a pen. It's tactile. You can feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And get your ideas out on paper. And you'll see how silly some of them are. And you'll see how clever some of them are.
Yeah, that's also the thing. Like you say, right? Journaling is very important.
Really, it is.
Especially because, like, my head is all over the place. I've got thinking about that, thinking about this, thinking about that. Prior to joining the Money Tribe, I had a very shotgun approach to life. And I've slowly reined that in to have a rifled approach. And at the moment, I'm trying to become the indispensable employee at my current job.
Yeah.
And it's going really, really well. And a lot of the time that I've noticed, if I focus on one thing rather than be scatterbrained all over the show, I really do well at that one thing. But it's now come to, I need to find the point that, okay, cool, that's operating well. How can I shift attention to the next thing?
So
and then continue being good at
that. A great example of this is, let's say you are the fly half in rugby and you've got to learn how to kick at the post. I promise you, if you focus on just kicking that ball at the post 8 hours a day, you will eventually become good at it. Mm. And a lot like sport, we go where we look. And if you're looking everywhere, that's where you're going to go.
Exactly.
So liken this to sport.
Mm.
The ball goes where you look. If you found value from this episode of the Hustle Podcast, please hit that follow button or subscribe button, depending on the platform that you're on. And if you are finding value from the content and you're enjoying this content, please leave me a review on your favorite podcasting platform. It really does help us get the podcast out there and helps people discover this amazing content.
This episode was brought to you by MoneyTribe21.com. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to follow and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform.